Turn your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We're going to start reading at verse number 24. We'll read the last three verses of this chapter. Chapter 2, book of 2 Timothy. Ask you to stand, please, while we read the word, just in respect to the word of God. Aren't you glad you have a Bible? Amen. Have a copy of the preserved word of God. How wonderful that is, God's word. In verse number 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. After that, you may be seated. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you today for the privilege that we have to be in the house of God. And thank you, Lord, for all the singing, how it blessed our hearts and stirred something within us. And Father, we bow our heads and worship and adore you and give you glory and praise and honor, because it's all because of your love and goodness and mercy toward us that we can come to the house of God and enjoy the singing of the songs and fellowship and the sweet spirit of the Lord in this place. And then, Father, comes now time for preaching. But as we get ready to preach, we think about those who today are in need spiritually. We have those of our church family that's struggling in situations, in areas of their life and their family. And Father, I pray for them and have them on my heart today and ask you in Jesus' name that you would guide them, direct them, and help them. And I pray for those, God, that have special needs of people that they've mentioned to us today that we know and love and care about the sick. Ask you to touch and heal according to your will and for your glory. Then, Father, we pray in this house right now for those that's unsaved, they're lost, they're on their way to hell. I pray the Holy Spirit would bring real conviction. And I pray for real conviction that Brother McIntosh testified of Wednesday night. I pray for the power of God to bring that kind of conviction to hearts, that they may repent and be saved. Then I pray, Lord, you'd help those who are discouraged or have a need in their life in a special way. Touch them and help them, and we'll thank you. Now, Lord, as I stand here to preach, I need a divine touch. I need the Holy Spirit to direct my thoughts and the power of God to be upon me and speak to hearts in this congregation. And we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I call your attention, please, to verse number 25. In the last part of that verse, talks about if peradventure God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And I want to talk about that subject of repentance today and deal with that somewhat. And I realize these people today that have different situations, and they talk about different things about repentance, and people have different beliefs about this. In fact, is there some that try to separate believing faith and repentance, make two different things? Let me say this, the best way I know how to put it is, if you ever have a real believing faith, it will be a repenting faith. If you ever have a real repentance unto salvation, it will be a believing repentance that brings you to salvation. You cannot have one. They are intertwined. They are together. There's no way to separate repentance and believing in real truth. And I hear those sometimes talk about, well, I don't believe that repentance is necessary for salvation. I do. I believe it's a vital part of salvation is true repentance. Fact is, Acts chapter 20, in verse 21, Paul talking there said, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know that there one God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's the Trinity. And we believe that one true living God manifested as Father, as Son, and as Spirit. God puts it down in language that we can understand and says repentance toward God. We have sinned against God, so repentance toward God. Faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one that went to Calvary and died for our sins and paid our price and rose from the dead. He is our Savior, our mediator, our help. And I pray today that we would grasp that truth, that repentance is real. But I won't talk about repentance and deal with it. Let me talk about the importance of repentance. And first, as we begin the message and thinking about it, the importance of repentance. It is important. I don't believe you hear a whole lot of preaching about repentance anymore. You know, we hear a whole lot said. In fact, is you can read a lot of tracts that will say, if you believe, and that's true. The Bible does say if you believe. But we need to explain that believing includes repentance. And if there's no true repentance, there'll be no true believing. People believe that there's a God. They know there's God. The fact is, the Bible says the devil believe and tremble, but they're not saved. And so element there of repentance that has to be there to be in salvation. I believe repentance doesn't end at salvation. If, Brother Mitchell says, how you know you repented is you keep on repenting. Amen. You keep on realizing the fact you failed God and repent of that. And so we need to know what real repentance is. It's important. John the Baptist came in Matthew chapter 3, first two verses there. He came out of the wilderness and he came preaching, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, repent. That's how he started out his preaching, was repent. He'd come out and he'd tell them repent. And he kept on telling them to repent. And then Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, about verse 17, somewhere in there, Jesus started his public ministry and he came out preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he started out preaching repentance. I believe if John the Baptist preached repentance, Jesus himself preached repentance, I believe it's still necessary to preach to repent. And repentance is needful in our day, and people need to repent. Mark chapter 4 and verse 17, Jesus had sent the disciples. He met with them, talked to them, and dealt with them. Then he sent them out. And they went out and they preached that all men should repent. And that's absolutely true. All men, everybody needs to repent. And repentance is there, and we need to look at it and think about it. It is important that people repent. Repent. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood to preach. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 38, here's what he said. He said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And he started out preaching on the day of Pentecost to repent. And there's no use baptizing. Now, we're going to baptize tonight, the Lord willing, at the close of the service tonight. And we'll be baptizing, but there's no use in taking them in the water unless they've already repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That the water doesn't save them. If I thought water could save people, I'd get some beaten men and I'd get me a tub, a great big tub, and we'd drive around the community and grab somebody and take them in, duck them under. Amen, get them baptized. And you say, well, preacher, you make them. No, if that'd save them, they'd come out and be glad. They'd be happy that you took them in, got them under, amen. But water doesn't save anybody. And when Peter said, repent and be baptized, he talking about you need to get saved and then make up a public profession of it by baptism and let everybody know that you're saved, amen. And I agree with that and say, amen, I'm glad we get to baptize, but I want true repentance before baptism and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. That needs to be, amen. And so we need to realize Paul started preaching repentance. He went out preaching repent, and he believed in repentance and preached it. And I thank God for it because it's real. I want you to look in Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter number 26. I just want to show you what the Apostle Paul said. Well, I talked to King Agrippa. Here's what he said. I signed the Lord Jesus I believe that Paul was the greatest preacher that ever lived. And he preached. And here's what he said. He stand before a king now. By the way, the Apostle Paul didn't make any difference whether he stand before a king or a widow woman or a rich man or a poor man. He still preached the same thing. He said, "Wherefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." Talking about when he was on the road to Damascus and how that light struck him down. "But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do good works meet for repentance." Now notice what he said, that they should repent and turn to God and do good works. Now good works is good, and doing good things is good and right and proper, but not before repentance. I mean, you can do good things, but it won't help you any. It's like going through the water. It won't help you any as far as getting sins forgiven, getting saved, or getting right with God. And when you fail God, doing good things, that's all right, but it won't get you right with God. It takes repentance first and then doing good works. Repentance, baptism, good works, all that follows repentance and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a will of God that people repent. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 talks about this. How's that start? Let me think a minute. Got to get it in my head. And do what? Yeah, thank you. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises to usward, but is longsuffering, not willing. Now get this, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I say amen. Now that's what God said. And God said it's his will that all come to repentance. Brother Blake, I joined you. Amen. You forgot the words of the song. I forgot how that verse started. But thank God we got them both before it's over with. Amen. And God understands our weakness. I'm glad he does. Amen. You'll go blank one day. And you'll think, oh, that preacher went blank. Hey, I did. Couldn't think how it started. But he says it's his will, not a willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If God said it's his will for all to come to repentance, then I believe it's the will of God for everybody to repent and get right. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't know if it's God's will for me to repent or not. Well, God said it was his will for you to repent. It is the will of God that you repent, and you ought to repent. And I guess I can say today, repent, repent, repent. Amen. We need repentance preached in our day. We need to repent. Why do we need preaching on repentance? Because we need to repent. And we got a lot of head knowledge today that's missed repentance and true being born in the family of God. And so you can't be truly saved unless you truly repented. And so we're talking about repentance. Now, I want to deal with repentance in three areas, three elements of repentance, three properties of repentance, three parts of repentance. Call it what you will, but I believe it's three elements that we definitely can say is a part of repentance, true Bible repentance. I've tried to tell you they came preaching repentance. They came talking about repentance. And throughout the New Testament, they preached repentance. And Jesus, the Word of God said, God's will, not will that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. What is repentance anyhow? And how do you repent? What's it mean to repent? What is repentance? And let me try to help you with that. And I pray that God would touch us and help us, and we may get that as God would have it to do. First of all, let me say it has to do with intellect. Intellect, how you think. It'll start in the mind. And as you think about it in your mind, if you don't get it in your mind, you'll never get it anywhere else. And one of the definitions of repentance in Hebrew is the fact that it means a change of mind. It is that you agree with God against yourself. And that you say, God's right and I'm wrong. If you never get that in your mind, it'll never get any further. But if you ever get it in your mind, get to thinking about it, God's right, I'm wrong. You agree with God and against yourself. Then you're headed in the right direction of true repentance. You remember the Bible talks about in Matthew 21 of the man that had two sons, and he sent them out to work in his field. And one man said, I go and do that, but he didn't go. Then the other man said, I will not go But the Bible said he later repented and went. You know what he did? He got to thinking about it and changed his mind about what he's going to do. It started in his intellect. Let me give you another real good example of that. The prodigal son. When he's out there in the hog pen, now he wasted all his living with righteous living. He wasted everything his father gave him. He had lived in the world, lived in a mess, got out there with the pigs as low as a Jewish boy could go. He was out there feeding pigs, and the Bible said he came to himself and remembered his father's house. That's an intellect. He came to himself. He began to think right. If you don't ever think right, you'll never do right. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. And we need to reason, think. And let me ask you today, are you thinking? Is your intellect working today? And if it is, you ought to think where you are. I'm lost if you're unsaved. I'm lost. I'm going to hell. I have no hope of eternity in heaven with Jesus. I have nothing to look forward to but punishment and sorrow and heartache. And this life, I have no help. I'm simply strung out here trying to find meaning of life, trying to find something to help me. And that's what people do. They try to find something. That's why people look for this and that. That's why people volunteer. That's not say they volunteer. They do a lot of good things because they're trying to find some purpose in their life that'll bring some kind of satisfaction, some kind of peace, some kind of fulfillment in their life. But let me tell you today, there'll be no real peace, there'll be no real fulfillment until you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And then if you're saved and get out of the will of God and know there's sin in your life and you lose that joy, then you'll never have real peace, no real joy until you get right with God. And you'll have to repent to do that. And so repentance is a real part of it. And so the intellect is a part of that getting right with God and thinking in the right direction. Number two is emotions. Our emotions work. Somebody said, now, it's not all emotions. No, but emotions work in it. Amen. I'm glad I don't come to church and my emotions quit working. Your emotions work when somebody dies in your family. And your emotion works when you, if you was somebody give you a lot of money, I bet you get emotional. Amen. And you get emotional. Bryn gets emotional when Clay drives up. I'll bet you anything she does. I know my wife got emotion when I drove up. Except when she's mad at me. That's emotions, but it's working in the wrong way. But people get emotional. Your emotions work at work, they work other places, so you get emotional. Yeah, and people show emotions differently. But emotions is a part of repentance. And you need to understand this. I want you to look with me, please. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, this is a vital part that we need to see. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 9, we'll start reading there, give you time to find it, because we're going to read and talk about this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. Now I want you to notice in these verses some truths that you need to get a hold of. It talks about, he said, I rejoice that you were, not that you made sorry, but that you made sorry to repentance. You can be sorry and not repent. And said that you be made sorry after a godly manner. That's godly sorrow. Look at verse number 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. Now, some people get sorry that they got found out. They're sorry that sin was manifest in their life. They're sorry for the trouble that it may have caused, but they're not sorry that they sinned against the Holy God. And that kind of sorrow doesn't bring repentance. A true repentance, an emotional part of that,
will be that you are sorry that you have sinned against the living God. And if you're not sorry that you sinned against God, and you're just sorry that you got found out, and you're just sorry that it brought trouble in your life. I've seen people say they wanted to get right with God, and all in the world they wanted to get was some trouble out of their life because they messed up and it caused problems, and now they're trying to get it straightened out. So they just want to say they get right, but they're not sorry they sinned against God. If they were, they'd really repent, godly repentance. And godly sorrow brings true repentance. And they'd be sorry they sinned against God. These people today, and by the way, let me just plug this in right here real good and tight. I believe we need to have a revival of sin becoming exceedingly sinful to us. Well, we got used to sin. And sin, and we get used to it. It just on every hand. And people can drink liquor, commit adultery, and live like that. And everything's fine. It's not fine. It's sin. In the sight of a holy God, God hates sin. And until there becomes a godly sorrow that works repentance, they'll live in that kind of place. But if they ever get godly sorrow and repentance, it'll make a change. And I'll get to that in a minute. But I'm telling you right now, there has to be a godly sorrow about sin. The psalmist David said in Psalms 38 and verse 18, "For I will declare my iniquity, I'll be sorry for my sin." He's saying, and when David's saying, "I'll be sorry for my sin," he wasn't talking about he's sorry that he got found out with Bathsheba. He wasn't talking about that he's sorry that brought trouble and his baby died. Because in Psalms 51, he said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned," talking to God, "and asked God to restore the joy of his salvation." He was concerned about God's relationship and fellowship with him. He had sinned against the holy God, had a godly sorrow in his heart. He's sorry that he sinned, sorry that he failed. And then he cried to God to help him, and God did help him. And I say, amen. I'm glad the true repentance and that emotional work in that. And I want to ask you the question, was it just an emotional thing, or was it godly emotion? Was it godly sorrow? Was it sorrow that worked true repentance? Or just sorry you got found out? Just sorry that you had trouble. Just sorry. I'm glad for that real sorrow. But there has to be some sorrow. If you never got sorry as you sinned against God, you never really repented. Sorry, I sinned against God. I failed God. I sinned against God. I messed up. Hey, that's what I'm talking about. And today, friend, every person in this house has done that. Everybody in the house has sinned against God. Ain't not a person here that has not sinned. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible said in Romans chapter 3, that being true, then we're all guilty. And repentance is a needful thing. Now I want to bring you the third part of repentance. And it has to be intellectual. You got to think about it. You got to know in your mind that's wrong. You got to repent there, turn in your mind, your way of thinking. Your emotions has to work in being sorry that you've sinned and regret that you've sinned. You can't really repent unless you regret that you've sinned and sorry about it. But then there has to be a will. Your will comes to play in this. Now those illustrations I gave a while ago about the intellect, about the two sons, the one that repented, and said, "I'll go." He did go into his father's field. That's true repentance. It means turn one direction to another. Turn away from something unto something else. And if you really repent, there is a turning of your life. And here I'm thinking about this and that prodigal son when he got out there in that hog pen. And there his intellect worked. And he was sorry that he was in the mess he's in. He was sorry that he didn't have any money left. He was sorry about all that. But it went a step further than that because he made this statement. He said, "I will arise and go back to my father and say to my father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you." He was admitting he'd sinned against God. He's sorry knowing he sinned against his dad. but sorry sinned against God. And he said, I'm sorry, I've sinned. And he had the intellect that he'd sinned, had the emotions that he'd sinned, but he had an action of his will and said, I will arise and go back. And he did, got up and went back. That's true repentance. Hey, true repentance will turn from sin. It'll turn unto God. It'll turn away from that that's wrong. Somebody said, preacher, I'm repenting, but they still drink liquor, still live in sex sin, and still going the same old way. Hey, that's not repentance. Repentance is turning from sin to God and letting God help you. Amen. That's true repentance. Paul preached it and talked about repenting in 1 Thessalonians 1:9 and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. I say amen and amen. In Proverbs chapter number 28 and verse number 13, he that covers sin shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. He didn't say just confess it, but forsake them. That's true repentance. And today, if we ever truly repent, we'll have to forsake, not only confess, but forsake. I pray that God will help you today and myself as we think about it in our lives. And we need to let God help us see ourselves like we are. And they sin there, we need to confess it. We need to repent of it. We need to make it right. We need to let God forgive us and cleanse us. I'm glad they sang that song about the blood cleansing us. He does cleanse us from all sin. I'm glad for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not preaching a hopeless thing today. I'm preaching hope and help in the blood of the Lord Jesus. And if you're lost without God, you can be saved. If you'll come and confess and believe and trust, you can be saved. If you're out of the will of God and in your heart as a saved person and no joy, there's something missing there in your life, and you know you're not where you need to be, and there's something haunting you in your life, there's something that's a continual sin, won't you bring it to Jesus, plead the blood, and repent, turn from it to God, and God will give you forgiveness, and you can leave out of the house of God, saying, I know it's forgiven and gone. Amen. I realize the fact there's besetting sins and those weights that keep coming back to us. We have to keep confessing and repenting of and turning from. But to really repent, turn from, and say, by the grace of God and the help of God, I turn from this and let God forgive me and cleanse me. Some people try to hide their sin, cover it, and think nobody ever know. God always finds you out somewhere. You can't hide sin. Galatians chapter 6, be sure your sin will find you out. He said, be not deceived, God's not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, that you also reap. Now over Numbers, he said, be sure your sin will find you out. But still the same meaning. We need to understand that. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're talking about true repentance. True repentance. If we truly repent, we will turn from sin to God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Now God's speaking to our hearts and God doing a work in our lives. I want you to think about it. In your life, what is there that really bothers you? What is it God's speaking to your heart about today that you need to repent of? And then as an unsaved person, you need to repent that you've turned you away from God, that you've been away from God, that you wouldn't come to God, need God to help you. Why don't you come today and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Over this house, with every head bowed, every eye closed, you're thinking about you. What about your life, your individual life? Today, God's not going to, he's looking at you, he's looking at me, he's looking at us individually. And what we do individually with this message about repentance, I pray God will help us. Father, I pray today that you speak to our hearts, deal with lives, and help all of us that are saved that we will let you turn the searchlight of heaven in on us, that we may see ourselves like you see us and repent as you would have us to do. Father, I pray for those that are here and they're lost, they're without God. They've never really repented.
never really been saved. I pray the Holy Spirit of God so convict them and so draw them. Make it real to their hearts, the need of repentance. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.